Paul says death is a voyage which leads to the everlasting haven of God. Paul says death is the answering of questions that are unanswerable on earth.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Paul has given us one major imperative in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 to 8. And that imperative is in the second verse, where we're taught that we're to preach the word. We're given insight into the character of that ministry in verse 2. And in the remainder of these verses, we're given some motivations to carry out that great primary task, that stewardship which is given to every one of us in this day and age. And there are three primary motivations to which Paul appeals in this passage. One is the coming of Christ. That's verse 1. The second is the contemporary scene. The final motivation to which Paul appeals, not only the coming of Jesus Christ, not only the depth of the darkness and the difficulty in the contemporary scene, but also the completion of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. This great privilege and awesome responsibility had fallen largely on the shoulders of the Apostle Paul in the early New Testament church, but now he was to leave the scene. The completion of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And the torch must be passed to the next generation. And so Paul is making a stirring appeal to the young man Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8, to carry on this ministry, particularly in view of the completion of the apostles' ministry, the setting aside of this great man of God. As I said, the words of this section are Paul's legacy to the church. And he'll share that with us in three tenses as he reviews his present, his past, and his prospects. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. As I see the completion of Paul's ministry, which was designed to be a motivation to the young man Timothy to take the torch and move forward for the glory of God in the next generation, I see three tenses of Paul's triumphant faith expressed in that passage. And every one of us ought to embrace that triumphant faith. Can you see them with me? Do you have your Bibles open? 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 6, Paul surveys his present. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul surveys his present. Secondly, he summarizes his past. He summarizes his past in verse 7. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. That's a summary of his past. Pretty powerful testimony. And then he sketches his prospects for the future. And that's verse 7. Henceforth, that's the future. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He surveys his present, verse 6. He summarizes his past, verse 7. And he sketches his prospects for the future, in verse 8. Now, do you notice those two metaphors? Let me talk about them again just for a moment. Those two metaphors of Paul's death, in verse 6. Paul was never afraid to talk about his death, even when he was facing it imminently. And he discusses it here in verse 6. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And he says that his death, metaphorically, his death is two things. One, it's a libation. It is the pouring out of his life blood, the final act of his sacrificial ceremony. It's the picture of a liquid being poured out over a sacrifice before it was consumed in flame. It was native to the ancient world. Ever since Paul's conversion, from the day of his conversion, he had offered everything to Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what you and I ought to do. Everything that we have, we ought to be utterly consumed with obedience to the Son of God. Paul was consumed with that kind of a spirit. How many of us could say that in living and in dying, we have been and we intend to be in our death nothing other than a sacrifice for Jesus Christ? It will do us no good to be spectators who applaud the Apostle Paul. God expects that we will be participators who appropriate the activity of the Apostle Paul and reduplicate it in our lives. Paul says, my death is a libation. It isn't Caesar, it's Christ. who is the central figure in my life. And it's not only a libation, it's a liberation. Do you notice he says, not only does he say that I am now ready to be offered, poured out as a drink offering, the final act of the sacrificial ceremony, he also says, and the time of my departure is at hand. He refers to his death as a departure, and the word means a liberation. It's not only a libation, it's a liberation. It's not only an offering, it was a departure. It was an interesting word, the word departure. Analuein is the Greek word. It was used in many contexts in the ancient world. It was a very interesting term. In fact, it was used in four or five different ways in the ancient world, the word departure. And every one of them gives us a little insight into the concept of death. It was a military term. We could call it a marshal or a military term. That word, analuein, was used of striking camp, loosening the tent ropes, pulling up the tent pins, and moving on. That's exactly what death is. It's moving on. For the Christian, death is a moving on. For the Christian, death is being posted to another station. Each day is a day's march nearer home, until in the end, camp in this world is forever struck and exchanged for permanent residence in the world of glory. That's what Paul was looking forward to. It's a departure, in the biblical sense of the term. And then it was not only a martial or a military term, moving on, posting in another station, but it was a nautical term. It was used by sailors. It was used for loosening the mooring ropes, pulling up the anchor and setting sail. That's how the word was used, setting sail. And it means that for the Christian, for the man who knows Jesus Christ, for the woman who has been born again, it means that for the Christian, death is a setting sail. It is a departure on that voyage which leads to the everlasting haven of God. That's how Paul anticipated it. That's what he looked forward to. It was beyond that an intellectual term. It's an interesting term, this word analuein. It's how it was used. I'm telling you how it was used in the ancient world, and each one of them has a certain nuance or connotation to convey to us in our understanding of death. It was an intellectual term. It was the word used for solving problems. It described a departure or a release from ignorance. Do you know there are certain unanswered questions that always attach themselves to the human predicament? We live out our lives in an enigmatic world. We don't have all of the answers. We'd like to think we do, but even we do not have all of the answers. Life brings certain pressures, and it brings certain problems, physical, intellectual, moral, and spiritual. And the Bible teaches us, and Paul is saying to us, that when we die and are finally ushered into the presence of God, we will at last have answers to life's unanswerable questions. That's how that word was used in the ancient world. It was an intellectual term. It meant a release from ignorance, a departure from dull incomprehension. We're finally going to have the answers that have eluded us here on the face of the globe as we stand in the very presence of Jesus. Paul was anxiously anticipating that day. It was a political term. It was used, you say, what do you mean it was a political term? It was used of releasing political prisoners from prison, setting a prisoner free. Paul is saying, in effect, I'm going to be set free. Paul was a political prisoner of Rome, and his execution was not an end, it was a beginning. It was not a consummation, it was a commencement. I'm going to be released into the very presence of God, and all the blessings that go with it. I'll be delivered from the limitations of the body and the temptations of the flesh. Death is a departure which releases a man from the ugly things, the decaying, and the binding things. And then finally, it was an agricultural term. It was a term that was used by farmers when they unyoked the oxen. They departed from the yoke. It was used by farmers when they unyoked the oxen. You know, oxen served two purposes in the ancient world. They were sacrificial beasts. They were used in sacrifice. And they were serving beasts. They were used in the agricultural society on the farms. And the metaphor means that you and I are sacrificial servants. We're like those oxen, metaphorically. We're sacrificial servants until death. At which time we shall lay down our earthly burdens and be introduced into the eternal rest of God's spacious home. While we live here on earth, we are to bear Christ's yoke. And when we die, we lay down that yoke and are introduced into the freedom and the spacious home of God. It's a beautiful concept. Paul says, now here are two metaphorical pictures of my death. As I survey my present, I don't have a solemn spirit of resignation. I have a joyful spirit of anticipation. I'm soon to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. My death is a libation. I have gladly sacrificed everything for Jesus all the days of my life. And it's perfectly appropriate that the very last act of my life should be sacrificial. It is a libation, and it is a liberation, a departure, a release into the presence of God. It's a tremendous thing to have that view of death. And only those who know Jesus Christ, who is the life, have it. I wonder if you're prepared for death. I wonder if you're prepared to meet the Maker. Only the man, only the woman, only the young person who has a union with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, is prepared. You can be as you open up your heart to the Son of God and receive him as your personal Savior. Paul says, for the Christian, death is posting to another station, permanent residence in the world of glory. Paul says, death is a voyage which leads to the everlasting haven of God. Paul says, death is the answering of questions that are unanswerable on earth. Paul says, death is freedom from the ugly, decaying, and the binding things. Paul says, death is rest from the burdens which have been laid upon God's servants all the days of their life. Who can fear that kind of a death? Blessed are they who die in the Lord. So Paul surveys his present, and he does so with joyful anticipation and with a spirit of thanksgiving. But then he summarizes his past. Do you notice in verse 7? What does he say about his past? I wonder if we could perhaps use this little outline and apply it to our own lives as we survey our past. We don't anticipate it. Today might be our last day on earth. We don't anticipate that, but it's possible. And we may have many days and months and years ahead of us, but as we survey our past up to this day, I wonder if there are terms in this verse that we could apply to our lives, or if we would be embarrassed by the scrutiny of this testimony. Paul says, I have been three things as I summarize my past. He speaks in the past tense now. In verse 6, he spoke in the present tense. In verse 7, he speaks in the past tense. I have fought the good fight, not just any fight, the good fight, the fight against evil and the evil one. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What is Paul saying? He's saying three things. I have been a combatant in a fight. I have been a competitor in a race, and I have been a custodian of a treasure, and I've kept it, I've guarded it, I've protected it. I have been a combatant in a fight, I have been a competitor in a race, I have been a custodian of a treasure. Those are the three terms that characterize the whole of my life since I met Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Defending the truth is noble. And it's beautiful in a world that is fallen, in a world that is rebellious to the truth.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.